All wrong.
Yep. Okay. Commissioner Chase?
Here.
Commissioner Gillis?
Here.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Here.
Commissioner Jayaraman? Commissioner Carroll?
Here.
Commissioner Asga?
Here.
Chairman Reese?
Here. Any comments about the minutes from the last meeting? Other than they're highly detailed.
Mine won't be as much.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll note that.
To accept the minutes as prepared.
Great. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the minutes are adopted. Thank you. All right. So today we have one thing on the agenda. Parking with respect to the 1200, 1300 block of Park Avenue. Are there other people here for other items besides Park Avenue? Sean, are you here?
I am.
All right. Do you want to either maybe take the mic and just tell us your name and address and what you're here for?
No, this is a petition that just came in.
All right, good evening, everyone. My name is Sean Perry, and I'm a resident of Route 4, so I live in Grove. I'm here today because I am here on behalf of residents in the notification area of Monroe in Iowa. We are requesting that a stop sign Monroe Street going north and south. So I wanted to bring that to the attention of the commission here. The basis for the request is that there have been a number of accidents that occurred at this particular intersection. Monroe Street is the first street going west of Harlem that goes immediately from Lake Street through to North Avenue. So we get a tremendous amount of traffic that comes through there, and oftentimes motorists are speeding. So the request is for the safety of the kids in the area, the elderly, folks who are walking their dogs. I was not able for this meeting. I met Bill last week, and he requested that I go and get the petition signed. I've got 82% of the residents in the notification area. I submitted that to him yesterday. And so I wasn't able to get on the agenda with this, but he told me to attend the meeting and bring this to attention and go through the process. Likewise, I know because I've seen it that there's been accidents that have occurred in that particular intersection. And I've been told to maybe do a FOIA request, or there's information available publicly that shows that there has been incidents that the stop sign probably.
So, Sean, I guess, well, my request, but if you want to ask questions, I guess I would suggest that since we have another item on the agenda, if you don't mind waiting, and then we come back to your issue at the end after we address Park that's on the agenda. Is that okay? Is that okay with you guys, with the commission?
That's fine. Mm-hmm. I just want to quickly ask, did you say Iowa? Iowa.
Yeah.
So one block north of Chicago Avenue, one block south of Augusta. That's correct.
And then I don't know when Sean's, when we step back up to this, I'm not sure if, I know we've collected data historically, and I just, you know, we haven't, since it wasn't on the agenda, I don't know that we've looked at any of the old data, but if we can find it, I've got some notebooks of the old KLOA study as well as the TEG study. So it's possible that in here we might have some data from that was collected at least before, it's not the most current.
I think it will be on the next meeting agenda with all the data that you need, accident reports and everything. I think, didn't we set it 80%, right?
I think so.
Yeah, but you said you're at 82.
That's what he
so
said. Yeah,
it said 75% is the minimum. Mm. Okay. Yeah, so it's going to be on the next agenda.
Yeah, I don't know if that's something we're going to address fully this evening, if we want to chat about it, but I think it'd be easier to get a formal letter from these guys before the next meeting and then address it then.
So, Sean, it's up to you. I mean, if you want to wait around, you know, we could discuss it, but I think what I'm hearing is that, you know, generally sorry that it didn't get on the agenda, but you know, generally we'll want to make sure that we get the notice out and we also collect the data so that when we have the next meeting, we'll have the accident data. We'll have, to the extent some of the speed information has already been collected, we'll be able to take advantage of that and probably have a more reasoned, I guess, discussion at the next meeting. But if you want to hang around, and we're happy to see if we can discuss it to some extent after the meeting. Except, you know, after we deal with the parking at park, if it's up to you.
Yeah, my only comment to that, Doug, is because there has been no notice, the lack of notice of transparency. Some of us have been sitting here for many years. We had some issues where in the Northeast quadrant there wasn't proper notice, or somehow a whole contingency, a whole 50%, weren't aware of what was going on. So I would almost rather not speak to you individually, and would rather address all the constituents at Monroe and Iowa at the same time, so everybody is a part of this conversation. That's my point. I
mean, that's probably where we're going to end up, Sean. So would you rather just wait for the next meeting?
Yeah, yes, I think I was instructed by Bill that if I came here, that there was somehow accelerated into the next process.
I think the next process would be that we'll, one, put it on the agenda, and two, you know, we'll know we have your petition, which we don't have yet, but we'll have the petition. And three, we'll also be able to see what data can be collected in advance of the next meeting, plus notice to the affected people, so that if other people want to show up and speak to it, you know, we'll be able to address it with the proper notice, as John said.
Okay. Yeah.
Pat, go ahead.
Sean, pardon me. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your last name. Do you have signed petitions, actually?
Yeah.
Okay. Then if you, because then we'll get you. If you already have them, we'll get copies for the next meeting. That would be great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
you.
All right.
Okay.
Sean, thank you.
Great.
Anything
thank
else?
You.
All right.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, the next the item on the agenda is parking with respect to the 1200 and 1300 block of Park. We have some information on the agenda about kind of the history of this block. I don't know if there's someone else on the commission who maybe has studied that, would like to summarize that. You know, I'd be glad to take a shot at it, but is somebody else, Matt or anybody here on the commission?
I feel like it's deja vu.
Yeah.
Let's see. I've got.
Do you have some notes on?
I do.
Okay.
I've got some notes. So when we looked at this back on, when was the date? It was all pre-COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2020, I believe.
So now I'm going to lose everything I had in front of me. Whatever the date of the report was, they had made a couple different recommendations. One was remove the 2-hour.
Yeah, the report is May 26, 2020.
Okay. So there were three recommendations. They recommended the first. Let me go back to have my notes, but I don't have the page number. First one was free parking, and that included on Division and Park. The second one, I think, was going to be paid parking for those two locations. And the third was, what was the third one? And
to go back to the 2-hour.
Go back to the 2-hour.
The 2 hours, one, then paid them. I know the third one was the metered, which that's not.
They were metered in both 2 and 3.
Well, in
2 and 3,
yeah.
And the historical background was that previously that there was parking on the west side of Park was limited to 2 hours, and there was no parking on the east side.
Correct.
And then in July 2020, the Village Board adopted an ordinance based on the recommendation of a study that had been done, and that was to remove the 2-hour restriction and allow parking on the west side of Park, but not, but continue not to allow parking on the east side. That happened. And then after that happened, COVID hit. So parking was probably depressed during COVID. And now with students back at Dominican, I think, you know, parking has increased. And then my understanding, I'm not sure quite how this came about, but I think some neighbors complained and the village through the police somehow put up temporary resident only parking on the west side of the street that's currently marked as temporary resident only by police order, and with continued no parking on the east side. And my understanding is sort of with that as being the current status quo, it was put on the agenda for us to discuss various options, which could include anything, but including whether we would maintain the temporary resident-only parking on the west side, which might require a change of the ordinance, to stick with the current ordinance, which is to allow parking on the west side and remove the current police temporary restriction. And I suppose to me, I don't know that I really see the paid options on the table, but, you know, I guess we could consider those. And but one thing that might be on the table is whether we would consider any kind of resident only parking on the east side. Right now, the east side of the street is no parking. And obviously, if you had parking on both sides of the street, it would be a tight, compressed area, but it would also slow down traffic. So, you know, that's kind of the status quo as I understand it. And we have some people who've signed up. So should we go ahead and hear from people who've signed up?
And I'm just going to make one comment, though. I know parking on the east side, we would not be able to do that because that's the fire truck route.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Park Avenue is
the So, so heading that's north.
So what's there's a reason why to keep that open so that firefighters and EMTs could proceed north on Park without being restricted. That's good background. All right, why don't we go? We have a couple, some people who signed up, including first name is Cheryl Starks at 1243 Park. Would you like to speak? Thanks.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
My name is Cheryl Starks.
Cheryl, could you hit the microphone?
Can you see
there
if that
there,
mic
Cheryl?
Is turned on?
You There's must... a little button on the base there. Just helps for the recording. I don't need to.
Just on the base of the mic, does it go green?
Okay, I think it's on now.
Oh, there
okay.
we go.
All right.
Loud and clear.
My name is Cheryl Starks. I live at 1243 Park Avenue, directly across from Dominican. We've been there for almost 30 years, which means we've been there every time Dominican has requested a variation in terms of putting up the parking, as well as the soccer field and everything. Of course, living across from a university, we've had to endure all the things that most individuals would endure living across the university, everything from false fire alarms being pulled, loud music, fighting in the parking lots and down the streets and so forth, the usual stuff. But the most annoying is the parking. Number one, and to indicate, I guess, I don't know if you know, but as this gentleman here, I can't see your name.
Oh, Rick Gillis.
Yes. Indicated that is emergency route. So therefore, there's no parking on the east side. That would be the east side of Park. And Park, along with most of Park Avenue, is so narrow. It's narrower than this room here, which means there's no space for vehicles. If you're parked on one side and if a fire truck has come down, someone has to, they can't pull over if there's parking there. They'll have to go into someone's driveway. That's one thing. And it's very difficult getting out of our driveway when cars are parked there. It has been a pleasure. I take it for what it is right now, that there's temporary no parking. I've enjoyed that, you know, and I know it's not going to last. But the other thing, like in 2020, when they removed the two-hour restriction, we did not get notice, so we weren't there. I don't know why people are here. Maybe they didn't get the notice or whatever, but we did get the notice that the parking had been changed. Now, the obvious objection I have is that even with the two-hour parking, it was not enforced. Many days I've had, and other residents will have called to have the police to come by and write tickets. And they would tell me to go out and get the car registered, not the registration number, although someone did suggest it once. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But I would get the parking, get their license plate number, and then they tell me to get the make and model. Well, the problem with the two-hour parking is that unless they go by and tag the cars, there's no way of knowing how long they've been out there. So they always, well, how long they've been out there? I'm talking about these. They were parking from like early in the morning to late at night. So since you remove the two-hour parking where there's no restriction, now they're parking overnight and no one's doing anything about it. I have to call the next day again, and I'm told again to go out and get the make and model and license plates of the car, and someone from out of state, by the way. And I should not have to do their job. And it's very annoying, you know, that I had to go out there and enforce the law, so to speak, about the no parking. And I would recommend that it's probably better for resident parking only. And the reason why it's probably better, because then I noticed that someone indicated, like, on your cons that it might interfere with parking for those students or residents who live in River Forest. Well, River Forest is such a small town. I walk from end to end, okay, in like a half hour. So you don't need to issue any special permits for residential parking. Just look at the sticker, the city sticker, which means every vehicle should have a city sticker by law. So it's easy to determine who actually lives in River Forest and who doesn't. Now, going back to Dominican, I understand that, you know, I have sympathy for students. I was a broke student once, you know, many, many years ago. So I understand the issue of parking. But why can't Dominican reduce their parking? And I think it's ridiculous. Several years ago, when they were talking about doing the new parking garage or whatever, I went over there for something. They were charging students $100 a month for parking. And that was several years ago. So I don't know how much it costs now. But that doesn't make any sense. And one of the reasons why they wanted parking, because they stated it would help to alleviate the overparking on the streets. Well, I have not seen any of that come to fruition. And many of the students, I know it's probably closer for them to park on the streets than to park in the garage and walk through. You know, and other than that, the other issue I have with the parking, besides no enforcement, if someone's having a special gathering or something, they can just this village can print some, just like you print the parking permits for the metro, whatever. You can do some special parking stickers to give out to the residents. If you want to, you can sell them, who knows, you know, but I think you get some pushback on that one. But you could give out some parking stickers that they can give to their guests if they're coming by, you know, so they know they're there. Now, the issue about, I think there's a lot of concern from the village about enforcement, but they don't have to expand additional manpower to enforce the parking. So if you have residential parking only, it's very easy discernible. And then you're not going to get that many residents because everybody has driveways that are way longer than this room, enough to accommodate regular visitors. And then there's always an issue when you have workers coming out. There's nowhere to park. We had our driveway done about a couple of years ago, if it's been that long. And it was an issue that we had to go out there early in the morning, put out cones that they left to ensure that they had parking so they could come in and do the driveway. Of course, they can drive in the driveway if they're doing it. So that's one issue, too. And, you know, you have your people come by for the lawn services. They have issue with trying to find a park and so forth. And it's just an issue with the parking. I understand. And okay, one other thing I just want to add too. And why are we so concerned about the Dominican not?
Jeff, could you take school out for a tinkle? He's pacing a lot.
They are, as I understand, a non-taxpaying entity. Now, someone once said when there was some objection about it, they said, oh, well, they've been great neighbors. Fine, they've been great neighbors, but they're not paying taxes because they're a religious organization, as far as I know. Unless that's something I missed in the statute. But the bottom line is that I live in that block. I've been there for almost 30 years, and it has been a headache. And the biggest problem is because it's not being enforced. Now, if you're going to enforce the parking restrictions, fine. But at a minimum, I think it should be residential parking between certain hours. I think there was a recommendation between, what was it, 8 and 9? 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at a minimum. Again, because then, again, you won't have to worry about people parking overnight. And one other thing on the sit down, I called also the village because I call a lot. And I was informed that sometimes they get special parking permit. But I was told that was like once a month or twice a month. I see the same cars parked out there all week long, day after day after day. So I would like some enforcement. That's my biggest. I'm really glad you had this meeting. So I get a chance to say what has been irking me for quite some time. But thank you. I hope you take into consideration. And sorry if I took too long.
It's okay. Thank you, Cheryl.
I'm going to make one comment about enforcement. Mm-hmm. The village has this really cool machine now. The minivan that drives around. It's what do we call it?
You mean the community service person?
Community, yes. So if you look, it's got these little license plate readers on it. And it drives by and it knows what the parking is. So it would know it's 2-hour parking. It tracks that license plate, puts the little thing. And when he drives by 2 hours later, it will say stop and give that person a ticket.
They just started doing it, no doubt, because they weren't doing it.
Oh, yeah. No. This is what lasts probably 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah, it's pretty, been relatively recently. Cool system. Yep.
If you ever have a chance to wave him down, and he'll show you how it works.
I have a question for Ms. Stark as well, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Ms. Stark, forgive me, I'm not familiar. That's perfectly fine. You said they're charging.
Be on the record.
My point is Dominican has this beautiful parking garage.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that they charge for parking there.
They do.
So we will.
And that's part of the problem. That's why if I were a student there, I would find free parking also.
We have people from Dominican on the list.
Yeah, and the amount that they charge is outrageous for students.
All right, let's get through the rest of the public comment, please. Wayman Starks, would you like to speak?
I would defer. You're going to hear the same thing all over again. So.
Okay, thank you. How about Shannon Miller?
Hi, everybody. My name's Shannon.
I don't recognize your last name.
Formerly Kuzer. I live at 1241 Park. Next door to the Starkses. And I can certainly sympathize with everything that the Starks, Cheryl has said. Certainly, I think when that whole street gets filled up with cars, it can be complicated to pull out of your driveway or, you know, get around efficiently. But I would like to request that we find some middle ground between if we do move away from the current state, which I didn't find to be too bothersome, but if we move away from it, to find some middle ground between that and only resident parking, for the reason of when we do have guests, some of them are not necessarily River Forest residents, and having a place for them to park on the street, given that the east side is all non-parking, is really important. And yes, sure, people can park in driveways, but sometimes that, you know, you have a long line of cars and you need to kind of shuffle around to move in or out, which can be frustrating, if not a safety challenge or hazard,
would,
I suppose.
Would 2 hours accommodate?
So I was, what I was going to say is I think on the north side, so on the Greenfield side of Dominican, is 2 hours between 8 and 5, which my estimation is that would probably be when most of the students are taking classes and parking. That seems to be when it's pretty busy on our block at any rate. So having some kind of 2-hour restriction during the daytime hours, I think could serve as that middle ground. Certainly would be open if there's an opportunity to do some kind of resident guest sticker or something along those lines, if we do have folks from Oak Park coming into town. But yes, I think what we see even might just be the very north end of the 1200 block all the way around the Greenfield side is 2 hours between 8 and 5. So that might be one other option to consider.
I think Greenfield is no parking.
It may be no parking 8
during,
to 5.
During the week, I think.
Yes, Monday to Friday.
Monday
I
to Friday,
said
8 yep. to 5, no parking.
No parking, yeah. Right. And I think, honestly, that could serve as a solution too. But I do think evenings and weekends, having a little bit more flexibility would be much appreciated.
And I noticed today, I was driving up in some of the northeast quadrant, the blocks that we've looked at between Lemoyne and North. and we have some 2-hour parking restrictions on those blocks. And I'm not sure, I just drove through, but I don't remember if those are 2 hours all the time or if they're 2 hours between certain hours. Does anybody know?
It varies.
By block?
By block, okay. Yes. I was looking at that today. A lot of them were 9 to 5, okay. Monday to Friday, and some were just
2 hours.
2 hours, right. Okay. Or okay. Not 2 hours. 9 to 5 didn't say Monday to Friday, so it would have been 7 days a week.
But 2 hours, just 2 hour parking. Yep. Yeah. Okay, Shannon, anything else?
No, all set. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mark, how do you pronounce your last name?
Titzer.
Titzer,
hi. My name is Mark Titzer. I represent Dominican University. I'm here with my colleague, Dan Opals. Hello to our neighbors on Park Avenue. I'd just like to point out a few things for context. Thank you for having this meeting. As you've noted, the 2-hour restriction was removed 4 years ago. So, albeit during COVID, when there was less traffic, perhaps in the neighborhood from students, but there has been no parking restriction on the west side of Park for 4 years now. This did kind of come back to light when some of the neighbors reminded us as leaders that we needed to reinstall a gate on the north side of campus in keeping with the planned development from many, many years ago that would restrict traffic flow between the west and the east side of campus. So those exiting the parking garage wouldn't be exiting through the back of campus and onto Park Avenue. And so we've done that in compliance with our planned development commitment, and we believe that's working just fine. So a couple of things that are just kind of in terms of context or perspective, I guess I would challenge a resident-only restriction because of the fact that I think has been pointed out. I think there are about 19 houses on the 1200 and 1300 block of Park, and they all do have driveways. So it would seem that the residents have a place to park for each of those 19 houses. In terms of visitors, as you've noted, the east side is no parking. But the west side could provide that for visitors or visitors to Dominican. And as well as, you know, we have visitors to athletic competitions who might not, you know, live at Dominican or work at Dominican. Our gymnasium is in the back of campus there, as you know. And then, you know, so. I suppose the village could add or add back a 2-hour restriction, but a exhaustive parking study concluded that 2-hour, you know, be removed. And so we've been 4 years without that. So it kind of begs the question, why would we put it back on? And then I would argue, why would we put on a, pardon?
I think my understanding was that one reason it was removed was to encourage people, first of all, it's adjacent to Dominican. And second, it's to encourage people to park closer to campus rather than farther away and into the rest of the neighborhood.
I think that's a good reason for that. I mean, I apologize for the proximity of your homes to our campus, but I'd also like to clarify that we do have a parking garage that was part of our 2008 plan development. It has about 550 parking spaces in it. We charge faculty and staff $50 per year to park in that per year, 50 per year, per year. The resident students, so who will be parking overnight, who live at Murray, Mazzucchelli, Coughlin Hall, they pay $100 per year to park in that open lot all night long. And we have campus safety officers, you know, so we believe it's a nominal fee for parking. I don't believe that it really is a deterrent and pushing people out to the street. You know, there's been some anecdotal feedback that our parking garage is not full or the parking lots are not full. We have statistics that would suggest otherwise, that indeed our parking garage is quite full. We're restricting the access so that it doesn't spill out onto Park Avenue per the plan development. But I do think that there are landscapers for both the residents and for Dominican who park along Park Avenue. There might be a bus from a intercollegiate competition who's going to park there and drop students off with volleyball or basketball equipment, et cetera. I suppose there are some cars who stay there overnight or for long periods of time. I don't know what to say about that. But I think it would be quite unwelcoming to say residents only or no parking when, again, a parking study had concluded to remove that 2 hour. And maybe it was an enforcement issue or whatever, but and that's been gone for 4 years now. So to say we should put it back, I guess I just would question that. But I just wanted to clarify, we do encourage and require our faculty and staff to park in our parking garage. It's $50 per year. And our resident students do pay $100 because they park overnight in our east lot.
And Mark, anecdotally, you say that you're between your garage and your lots, your view is that you're fairly close to capacity. You don't have a lot of excess capacity, or am I understanding you correctly on that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as somebody who goes to campus every day, I can always find a spot. You know, if I usually come in early in the morning, so it's easy to find a spot. If I leave for lunch, sometimes I got to go up to the third or fourth floor of the parking garage. You know, and contrary to what many institutions like Dominican are facing right now, our enrollment is strong. And I think a vibrancy and additional students coming to Dominican is a really good thing. Yes, we are a non-taxpaying entity. I acknowledge that. But I think a vibrant campus with a lot of attendance is good for River Forest rather than a place that is not well attended. So,
and what do you charge? Sorry, over here. Kim.
Oh, sorry.
What do you charge commuter students, day students for parking?
So $50 to park as a commuter, a faculty, a staff member, a student, which would mean not overnight in the garage. So overnight parking is $100 for resident students.
What about non-resident students? Do you have commuter students?
Right. They would pay $50 as well.
A year, $50 a year.
Per year. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, the supposition is that you wouldn't leave your car overnight if you're just paying for the $50. And so, yeah. So that's, I just would ask the committee to consider the traffic study that was commissioned 4 years ago and to revert to that status, and we'll endeavor to be good neighbors as I hope we are.
No, it was conducted
for
the village by KLOA. And I don't know if you have it. It's available. So it's a very lengthy report that was prepared in May of 2020. It's, I think, almost with all the exhibits, it's almost 200 pages. Mm-hmm.
So am I reading this wrong? Right at the end of the report, it speaks to the garage itself at Dominican with 1,102 spots.
I think that includes surface lots as well.
Okay.
Yeah. It's about 550 in the garage and then elsewhere. We've got an east lot, west lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
about 1,100 total.
And the reason I bring this up, it wasn't too long ago that I was actually studying for the bar exam at Crown.
Oh.
Believe it or not. So I've spent time on campus. I raised four kids in this town, and we would take our pictures up on the beautiful campus and all of that stuff. But with that being said, according to this study from 4 years ago, and it goes by time from 7 a.m. until 10 p.m., you are 30%, 50%, 70%, 75%. So 75% of 1,100 is 775 spots with 250 spots available. And then we start to get into, I would say almost full around lunchtime. Mm. I remember being a college student as well. We try to schedule our first classes around 11 or 12, just in case, just in case. So then I'm looking at 94, 92, 11 a.m. noon, and then it jumps a page to screw me up with my bad vision. And then by 2 p.m., we're back down to below 80%, and then 60% and 40%. So I don't know, with your capacity argument, And the fact that the west side of Park Avenue from 12 to 1300 is going to really accommodate a lot of cars. And then you said that $50 a year, I mean, I understand being a college student. I get it. $50 a year is not something I think a kid's going to try and skirt. I mean, I think a kid going to Dominican, well, I mean, I know Dominican has lots of diversity, and I'll leave it at that.
Indeed.
But the people that are driving to Dominican are probably going to be able to afford. So I don't think that the university itself is pushing students away from the garage.
I would agree with that.
I think that perhaps it's an ease play for them to park on Park Avenue. It's certainly those cars, let's call it 19 cars, 15 cars on Park Avenue. They're certainly at all times of the day going to fit in that garage. Is there an elevator in the garage?
Yes.
So people don't have to walk down five stories.
No, it's handicap accessible.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. So with that being said, I mean, I'm just formulating an argument for our discussion later. I just wanted to point that out at the end of the study so we have something to talk about as we get into it. And I'll let Chairman Reese take over.
Your argument is...
I don't have one yet.
No. It's on page 23.
It is?
Yes. But,
well, I haven't even said what I wanted yet.
No, but I know where your argument's going.
Oh, you
wait,
do?
All right. Sorry, I have
page 23. I'll just
paraphrase my opinion.
That's number 54.
Dominican University provides 1,102 parking spots on its main campus, surface lots, etc. Permits are sold to students, whatever. When it's highly utilized, 90% of its capacity from mid morning to mid afternoon, you just talked about peak times of the, at the peak times, the number of vacant parking spaces on campus is 58 spaces, comparable to the peak number of cars parked on Division and Park Avenue. So there's enough empty spots, according to this study, on campus, the same as the people parking on the two streets.
Okay.
Responses from the parking questionnaire indicate that students choosing to park on the street rather than on campus do so to avoid the parking permit cost. So, I think that's where you're going with your argument there.
If they can afford a car, they can afford the 50.
Well, I agree with Miss Starks.
Well,
when I was in college, I couldn't afford $50, but I had a car.
I couldn't afford a car either.
Yeah.
Well, could I ask you a quick question?
If I may, I guess I would just offer that, again, on that study, I think the intent was to, with all due respect to the Starks and the proximal neighbors, the intent was to confine the on-street parking that may be a spillover from the university to the adjacent streets, right? Rather than to streets further east toward Willard, right? That might. So we have students who are, you know, going to try and save $50.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd offer that they're going to still try and do that, and they're going to park somewhere else in River Forest to save that $50 and walk a block or walk two blocks. It's regrettable, but I think that you're going to kind of push this problem further south and east.
No, I don't think we're going to do that. But with that being said, you know, we're the Traffic and Safety Commission of River Forest. So, you know, we're here for the constituents, our neighbors. Obviously we want to work well with our colleges and whatnot, but you know, there were a lot of issues mentioned. It's an emergency route. Our neighbors on the east side of the street have issues going on in, out, who's in front, who's not. So, you know, we look at, you know, what's the best way to be safe? And one of my counterarguments to myself and my wee brain is that if we remove the cars on the west side of the street, what happens? Kids with cars can go faster. So we think about we think about that as well. And then we're sitting here as traffic and safety. So there's a safety component in addition to the traffic component, and in this issue, a parking component. So those are my thoughts thus far, and I'll let Chairman Reese take over. I don't know if anybody else needs to speak, but you need to do your procedure, and I need to shut up.
Go ahead, Dave. Just a second. At this point, I want to let the rest of the commission comment, and then we can come back.
I was going to ask, and I don't know if this is a question for the commission or for Mike, Mark. Sorry. I guess that's for Mark. I mean, like 2 hour parking, presumably. Are commuter students coming in at 9 a.m. and staying until 4, or are they coming in for a class? Like, what's the do you I don't expect that you would have statistics on this, but do you know sort of what the average parking tenure per day is for a commuter student?
I can't answer that. I guess I would offer that a limited parking might address students who want to pop in for one class or come after 5 p.m. for a basketball game. See their son or daughter play basketball, but they can't leave their car there, you know, all night or all day. So,
okay. It does seem to me that, you know, I think, and I haven't been on this commission that long, but in the one or two instances where we've taken like big action, it didn't go that well. And so I sort of feel like, you know, incremental steps are usually better than the big steps. And the thing about 2 hour parking is that it would accommodate university use. It would accommodate residential use. You know, there would be a place for Amazon trucks and landscapers and also students and also residents and also visitors. I just throw that out there as a, I think, true statement.
Let me just read this from also page 23 of the study. It says that the street parking adjacent to the campus on Park Avenue, which is regulated with a 2 hour parking time limit. This is obviously their review prior to 2020, is lightly utilized during the day at less than 30% capacity, peak of 12 cars parked in a 40 space zone. So it is 40 spaces. Mm-hmm. And I guess prior to 2020 was not that utilized with the 2 hour.
With the 2 hour parking.
With the 2 hour.
Does anyone know, and I don't know if we even have good anecdotal evidence, over the last 4 years, what the utilization has been on the west side of Park on that stretch? Has it been fully utilized? Has it been half utilized during the day?
You know what? I live near there. My observation since we removed the 2 hour seems to be pretty full most of the time.
Is that?
Especially your division is packed.
Is that? And you're... That you guys live there, and I don't know if you folks from Dominican.
I was going to add that, okay, he may not know what student body who comes there parking, but I live there, so I know you have students who come and go when it's 2 hour parking, so that actually leaves space for other students to come there if they're not parked all day long with unrestricted parking. And I've seen that happen. My biggest problem has always been, and I understand you have your games and things, or I don't think anyone has any problems with that. My biggest problem is not enforcing the 2 hour parking,
but
people park there all day long and overnight as well.
I'm asking, can anybody here tell me what the utilization has been? How many people are parked on a daily basis on the west side of Park during the day?
That whole block was taken up on a daily basis.
Is that the consensus? Is that?
Yeah.
How many spaces? Yeah.
Shannon, is that your observation as well?
I would say maybe 60-70% full. I've never had it, seen it, and maybe every now and again it is completely full, but usually there are some spaces available.
Right. So we don't have a great data set about the utilization of that block. We're being asked to change something that's been in place for 4 years based on highly anecdotal information that's not very, very specific. We don't really know how heavily utilized those blocks are on Monday through Friday from say 8 to 5. If it's 60%, 70%, or 100%.
Right. But with that being said, I am of the opinion that if I can remove students' cars to student parking in favor of emergency vehicles passing by, residents of River Forest having space on their street to park their neighbors, to park their workers, that's kind of where I'm going. I think David started this wave here, because I mean, we have the space in the, or I'm sorry, Dominican has the space in the garage. If it's a matter of cost, I'm sure Dominican can figure that out. $50 a year if a student comes in and somehow has a car but can't afford a $50 parking pass for a year, okay, maybe they can get some sort of subsidy for the $50. But I just to reiterate, you know, I'm thinking about the traffic flow, the neighbors, and by all means, 40 student cars that would fit in the garage anyway, with an elevator, ADA compliant, to the campus. That might be the little nudge that you were talking about. And we would request, if we do something over there in terms of hourly or something like that, we would request that it is enforced. That might be the little nudge where we don't have to reinvent the wheel, which started our malaise in the Northeast quadrant. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to address the fact that, you know, we're looking at this and we're being asked to do something based on sort of anecdotal observations. And I mean, I would say respectfully that I think we do that from time to time. And I think about putting up stop signs, right? You know, we put up stop signs. Usually when we put up a stop sign, the traffic studies say you don't need a stop sign there because they're not good for speed control. And then, you know, enough people in the area sort of sign and say, we want the stop sign there. And we say, okay, we put up the stop sign. And more often than not, I to my knowledge, that is generally a hit or a non-issue in the area. And so I guess I would say, like, I'm not opposed necessarily to doing something based on anecdotal information if there's sort of enough of it. And if it's echoed by enough of the neighbors that say, yeah, you know, there's something that should be done here. And it doesn't have to be like no parking, but some sort of community endorsed plan, I think, would be okay, even if we didn't have any hard evidence.
Do we have a petition?
Not to my knowledge. No.
No. And I don't know how we got this police restriction in place without anything coming to this commission or without being a petition. I'm going to object to that. But, you know, I understand how those things maybe happen, but I agree. I agree with what you're saying, Dave. I mean, we do have some anecdotal evidence, and I think we can probably take as a given that block is being used, and it's being used by people attending Dominican. And, you know, the question then on the table, then, do we think it's being used primarily from 8 to 5, 9 to 5, 8 to 8? You know, if the suggestion on the table is some kind of a potential 2-hour parking restriction, as we just noted, in that area, some blocks have 2-hour restriction period without any time frame. Some have 2-hour restrictions during certain times of the day. You know,
what is the cost of a ticket, a violation, if they do, are there for more than 2 hours?
$50.
Yeah, do you know, Matt, what it is?
It'd be $45.
$45 for a violation of time. Okay.
So it's a $45 ticket if you.
No, I mean, it has to be around 50.
Is that what it is?
Yes, it is.
So
it's a $45 ticket if you exceed the 2-hour parking restriction. Okay.
And
it sounds like there.
It was previously, I should mention, it was previously $30. That recently, just within the last 2 months, was raised.
And it sounds like there's.
Oh,
some,
just changed from
it sounds
30
like
to 45.
Some,
correct.
Throughout River Forest.
Yes, correct.
And
it sounds like there are some additional tools in the River Forest toolbox for enforcement that maybe didn't exist 4 years ago.
Was it mentioned on Greenfield? Did you say that's 2-hour parking, 8 to 5?
No parking, 8 to 5.
No parking on both sides of the street?
Yeah, and I think that's Monday to Friday.
Interesting.
And the same going north on Keystone Forest.
Well, we did that.
For a couple blocks, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. Okay. Cheryl, did you have some information to add?
Mm-hmm. I just want to address the elephant in the room about anecdotal versus what's anecdotal is a study being done during COVID.
No, the study was before COVID.
Okay, what year?
2020. The study was published in May of 2020. According to this, it says November of 2019. November of 2019.
Right.
And again, we're neighbors. We're all neighbors. I don't want this to be us versus them. We got too much of that crap going on right now outside these walls. But Dominican is our good neighbor. You guys are our good neighbors. Shannon's our good neighbor. We're all neighbors. So what we're trying to do here is facilitate something that works for all of us. You know, good negotiation, nobody's happy, right? So, okay. So I just don't, you know, let's work together. Let's work together. We're not working against anything, against anyone, any side. I'm just trying to think how we do this to maybe, you know, get more kids to park in the parking lot. And then what can we do to make sure Park Avenue is open and accessible to neighbors? Maybe kids, if they want to jump in, because let's say their class is a stone's throw away from Park Avenue. Who wants to park seven stories up in a garage, but then they're going to be there for 2 hours? I get it. So that's what we're thinking. But yeah, this is not us versus them. This is us working together.
Is there a way that we can find out how it changed to temporary resident only parking?
Like how that came about?
Yeah,
sure. Yes. I do want to speak to that a little bit. And Mark Titzer did mention that it was brought to the village's attention that one of the conditions of the plan development that was approved back when the garage was approved back in 2006 or seven to block that east-west circulation road on the north side of the campus that got removed several years ago. No one knows how it happened. And that condition lasted for several years. Some of the nearby residents on Park Avenue brought that to the village's attention. We worked with Dominican and that recently was reinstated. That was part of the plan development as part of a KLOA recommendation to cut down on the circulation. So that was,
this is the gate that goes onto Park, or the driveway that goes onto Park Avenue.
No, it's actually internal to the campus. So it's there's a gate at the entrance on Park Avenue into the parking lot. That's not that gate. That gate has always been there. It's just open because the students need to park there. It's further west in the campus to keep folks from cutting from Park Avenue to the parking garage or vice versa.
Thank you.
So
Thatcher Division.
Correct. Yes. And then during that conversation, that is when we have residential parking signs. I agree that's not a tactic that we try to use very often. But we wanted to act in the interim when that was still being worked out by Dominican. So that's why those were put into place. And it was there was discussion. It was close enough to the end of the school year that we knew that we would have the opportunity to discuss a permanent decision, or at least a longer lasting decision, whether it was just to confirm the no restrictions that was recommended and adopted by the board 4 years ago, or some other compromise or version of that.
Okay, here's my thought, and you'll appreciate this. We need a little
speed
more
bumps.
Data.
Oh
boy. But school's out. We can remove the signs. No one's going to be parking in front of the house right now. You know, the streets are empty. Division was empty today. In the fall, let's start monitoring again. We can probably have the little truck come by and do a track on the plates that are there. How long are they parked? Right?
What was it 4 years ago again? Before this?
There was 2 hour, the west side was restricted to 2 hour parking.
Along with Division.
And then KLOA recommended removing that restriction. The questionnaire that was done was late. 2019. Like, it looks like most of the questionnaire answers were in December 2019. COVID hit in early 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, I think a lot of the data was being collected just prior to COVID. Then by the time this recommendation came around, we were into COVID. So, you know, you have some overlap there, but I think, you know, they had the recommendation to remove the 2-hour restriction and open it up. Then I'm assuming, I think we're all assuming that during COVID parking was probably depressed. And now we have some indication that parking has ticked up in that area. And so that's really why we're addressing the issue. And one suggestion that Rick's put on the table is that, you know, we're in the summertime now, so parking's not going to be as utilized by students now, I don't think. I don't know how many students are attending summer, but one suggestion is that we table this. We remove the resident only. We open up it. We maintain the status quo, which is what it is under the village ordinance, which is to not restrict parking on the west side of park for now. And then in the fall, when students are back in session, to collect some data about how that's being used, if we want to do that. I'm not saying we have to, but so that's what I'm hearing your suggestion.
Hypothetically, let's say we did that, and let's say we found that it was 100% utilized through the study. Would that change our thoughts in it being partially utilized?
Or even if it's 60% utilized, would that change our thoughts?
And I just ask the question because if the reason the 2-hour limit was removed was to move student parking more toward Park Avenue and away from other ancillary streets.
To keep it from spilling closer to Willard, right?
Right. Right. So if it was 100% utilized and it's utilized all by students, it is doing that. So are we okay with that or are we not okay with that? And I also think that maybe there's some education that can happen to the Dominican students about the parking ticket, $45 or something, is a comparison to $50 and just to somehow get them, the students, to understand that there is another option for them. But if we find that it was 100% utilized, is that going to be something that's going to change our perspective if the intent is to have the students park there?
I guess maybe, I don't know if this is a related question, but let's assume that there's a high utilization of parking on the west side of park. And if we were to change that to 2-hour parking, we're, I think, all assuming that maybe with some education that those students would be encouraged to park on campus in the lot. But it's also maybe just as likely or more likely that they will skip the lot and skip the garage and park another block farther east,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, it's hard for us to anticipate what the consequence would be if we were to impose, say, a 2-hour restriction. Is it going to cause people to move and park on campus, or is it going to cause people to move and park where they can a block farther? Yeah, block farther.
But if we do this, so okay, understood what you're saying, Rick. But now that 60% of the students of a full time, and now that it's summertime, there's less students going to Dominican right now. So with less students going to Dominican and, you know, getting kids to do stuff is like herding cats and all of that. But wouldn't we want to try and start moving them onto campus parking now? When, you know, if we do a restriction, so I'm leaning towards doing a 2-hour parking with enforcement now, not resident only, I don't think, but a 2-hour restriction now, because we have less students going to Dominican and then they may start utilizing the parking because they only have to park on the first or the second floor, and they know that after 2 hours with enforcement, they're going to get a $45 ticket where they could have paid the $50 for the whole year there. And then again, it gets to our objectives of opening up Park Avenue for emergency vehicles, for residents, neighbors, so forth and so on. So I'm gonna fight you a little bit on that, because I think now is the time to do something, because there's less of a student population over there.
Well, do we care? I'm sorry. Well, let me just ask: do we care if we say we impose a 2-hour limit?
Yeah.
And let's just assume that causes people to park on Franklin. Do we care, or would we wait and see if people complain at Franklin and address that?
No, I agree. But didn't we already do 2 hours on Park Keystone Park? What is it? Keystone.
It goes.
Forest.
Keystone
Park.
Franklin. Ashland.
And we've done 2 hours on all of those, right?
I don't know.
See, prior to this, I'm at Keystone and Augusta.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So prior to when we had the 2 hour, there was a whole slew of cars that would park on Thomas there.
Right. Right.
On a regular, every day.
Right.
Because they were there for longer than 2 hours, and they could walk that block down to the university.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone now, because now they're on Division or they're on Park.
Which is part of the idea.
Which is part of the thing. But now here's my second thought here.
Yeah.
So if we, in the fall, we monitor, but then we educate. We have you guys, the university, go through. You can look at River Forest stickers. If it doesn't have a River Forest sticker, you put something on their windshield that says, you got to buy a parking pass.
You're going to get a ticket.
If you keep on doing this, be nice. And
through the garage for you.
Yep. And you know what? You know what? Your
we would be willing to have that education campaign to say, you know, you can't just park for free. That's not going to work.
Well, we could do a time limit. So semester starts September 1st. Or September 6th, unless it's in August. But anyway, we said starting January 1, if you're out here for more than 2 hours, you're going to get a ticket that costs the same as you getting a parking pass. Might as well buy the permit, move inside, get in the garage.
Basically say to them, you know what, if you can't be good students and good neighbors,
you can be
then we're going to change it to 2 hour, and you're going to have to buy a permit anyway. I think that something like that may work.
Hope our students don't throw garbage on the parkway either.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But I do know living there, you know, I drive down Park quite a bit. I drown Division every single day. It's full now. It is full. And you know what? But that was the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was the people that used to park on Thomas are now on Division.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we wanted to do with this, you know.
But again, the garage will handle all of these cars.
Right.
So why can't we start pushing? And maybe you and I are on the same page, but are you saying that you want no restrictions on Park?
I want to wait until we study and recommend to these people that are parking on Park to buy a permit.
No, I think this has to be a directed statement.
Is our goal to not have any students park on that street?
Actually, the original goal was to have them park on the street.
I know. So now, is today's goal?
Today's goal is
to not, or is that not our goal? That's more of a question.
Our goals have changed.
The goal is to hope that students will park on campus. I think the reality is that the number of students who park on Park are just as likely to go park on Franklin or another block and not park on campus, notwithstanding whatever education you want to do. I just think we have to understand that that's a risk, and that's a risk that KOLA was trying to avoid by allowing parking on the west side of Park, so that students who are going to campus would park adjacent to campus and not park farther east toward Willard.
I have a process question for you or Matt. If we make a recommendation, then at some point the neighbors get a mailer that says it's going to be discussed at the Board of Trustees meeting? Or
There were postcards sent out in advance of this one.
Okay.
Correct.
And what did those postcards say? Just that we were discussing it?
Yes. Yes. It said that there would be discussion of the parking regulations on the 1200 and 1300 block of Park Avenue with this meeting date and time. And it was sent to the 1200 and 1300 block of Park, as well as a portion of Greenfield there as well.
Okay.
If I may, oh, I'm sorry.
No, no, that was my question.
I like Rick's idea of collecting data in the fall, but I even like John's idea of starting the process now with the 2-hour parking to get the students that are summer students inundated, used to the fact that they are going to get a ticket. I mean, I think it's time. I like the 2-hour idea, but start it sooner than September.
So
but in September, I would like data to find out.
So, Patricia, with that being said, with everything that we've spoken to, my idea is to kind of incorporate a lot of what all of us said. And my motion would be for even what you said, Chairman, even what you said.
Go ahead, I'm waiting.
All right, even what you said. My motion would be to go back to 2019 for a lot of reasons. and, you know, institute the 2-hour parking rule on Park Avenue with the idea that our objectives have changed. You know, we want to encourage the kids to park on campus. And if we just let them park on Park Avenue and Division, that's not encouraging anything. So I would just start by saying we do the 2 hours, and then if we want to incorporate education into it or data mining in the fall semester, we could do that. Well, they're probably going to have to be noticed anyway. They'll see the signs and then they'll start getting tickets. But rather than maybe enforce, we educate in the fall semester about moving to campus. I'm not so sure about Chairman Reese's issue with Franklin, but it certainly is possible. We've been bitten in the keister before with this. But I'd rather get started early on this rather than late.
But we don't. We know that we have two opinions here from two residences, but we don't know if the other 20 residences would agree and like a 2-hour. We're just going based on what our feeling is because there isn't a petition. Yeah. And I feel like I don't think I need more data about what's going to happen because I think we can discuss both cases and figure out which way we want to go. I just want to know what the residents want before I would be comfortable approving a recommendation to change it.
If there are visitors to the campus, whether for a sporting event or some other event, what parking is available to visitors, first of all, on the street, and then what parking is available to visitors on campus? So I know I've been there for evening events and I park in the parking lot for evening events. And then if somebody comes during the day, can a visitor park either in the parking lot or in the garage? Those are both available. Okay. And then I suppose then with respect to street parking, Division has street parking, correct?
Yes.
And then currently the west side of Park. And so if we were to restrict the west side of Park to say there's some sentiment in favor of 2-hour parking, then that's going to have some knock-on effect that students who need to be there for longer than 2 hours are either going to have to park on Division or they're going to park on campus or they're going to park on another adjacent street.
So for the evening?
No, well, I'm just saying anytime.
But sporting events would be in the evening. And
well, yeah, I'm just asking about that. But even let's say during the day is what we're mostly concerned about. Somebody who pulls up, their choices right now, they can park on Division. Right now, they can park on the west side of Park. They can park on campus if they can get a spot, or they can park farther away. And so all I'm saying is that if we decide to restrict the west side of Park to 2 hours, either at any time or during a certain limit, then the effect of that decision, we hope with some education, might encourage those students that are going to either park on Division or they're going to maybe park on campus, or they're going to park on another adjacent street. And I guess, you know, my view is if we're willing to do that, take that and then assess in the fall, if we had a lot of people parking on Franklin,
Maybe then we're going to have to address, you know, we'll hear from neighbors, I guess, if they don't like students parking on Franklin. I guess we don't need to proactively do anything on that. But I suspect, at least if we trust what drove KLOA, is they at least thought that there was evidence that people were parking farther east. And that's why they recommended allowing the parking on Park. So I just think we have to anticipate that if we restrict to the west side of Park to 2 hours, that we're going to see some parking on adjacent streets, and we'll just have to be prepared to decide if we're going to, you know, address that when it happens.
Go ahead.
Mike, whatever we decide today, it's just a recommendation to the board. Am I
correct? Well, yes. I mean, whatever we recommend is a recommendation. Because there's an ordinance, correct, now, my understanding is that I think they would probably have to change the ordinance to impose a 2-hour restriction. You know if that's the case, Matt?
Correct. In order to make the a 2-hour restriction or to replace that, it would be take a board ordinance.
So just so you all know, so, you know, what we do here is a non-binding recommendation. We can, at the end of this evening, we'll presumably, if somebody makes a motion, we'll vote on it. As let's say we propose some kind of a, by a majority vote, we propose some kind of a restriction. That would be a non-binding recommendation from our board. Then you would be encouraged, if you support or oppose the recommendation, to go to the next board meeting. The board meeting then would hear comment, and the board would vote and decide whether they're going to, say, change the ordinance to impose a 2-hour restriction. I think, to your point, Cheryl, too, that if we were to suggest a restriction, I think we would most likely couple it with a request for enforcement of that restriction. I mean, we heard what you were saying, that you know, a restriction doesn't do any good if it's not enforced.
Just to clarify, where we are today is temporary resident only.
Well, right now, today, by police order, you drive there and there's a sign. If you're southbound on Park, you'll see an orange sign that says temporary resident only parking by police order.
So are we, if we would say to change it to a 2-hour, we're actually telling the residents, of which we've only heard from two of them, that you right now have residents only and we're going to change it to 2-hour open.
Correct. And I think the suggestion, at least that we've been discussing, is not resident only. It would just be 2-hour parking restriction, which would be consistent with other blocks up in that area.
How long has it been? How long has it been police order?
Those signs were put in place in early April.
Oh.
So it was only a few weeks before the end of the school.
And I mean, we haven't heard from other blocks thus far that have said everybody's now parking on our blocks, or we have.
Well, because we're in the summer.
No, not that I've heard, but I think that it was close enough to the end of the school year that it had the impact.
Maybe they all just parked in the parking garage.
I would like to know what the other 20 residents would like. Did this get on the agenda just from one resident bringing it up, or
there were an email chain with a group of the residents? I don't remember. There was about a dozen folks on that email. I know there were differing opinions among that group that had reached out to myself and Dominican and village board members that kind of brought that to the forefront. We were trying to see if there would be a compromise among that group. We recognized that that was a small sample size as well. We thought that maybe this would bring more interest to it with the postcard to folks that weren't on that email chain. I don't know the block dynamics there. And this is.
So somebody said to the board, I've had enough of this, put up a sign that restricts parking to residents only. And that happened. Oh, Ms. Starks, can I ask you two questions? Can I ask you two questions? This is going to help our decision.
Yes.
Right.
I want to. I was going
to. But nobody's willing to take ownership.
For it. We want to be good neighbors. And I don't mean to interject here, but our posture in this is that we should follow a process. The village and the neighbors, and we should follow a process. And if the study that was commissioned came to a conclusion, we shouldn't let, with all due respect, the opinions or whims of an angry neighbor change that. And so, again, that was our position, that a study would create an ordinance or remove an ordinance. A similar action should replace it or change, not just, I don't like it. And again, I don't need to say that with you.
So you're proposing that another study be done that could take, six, seven, eight months?
Suggesting that the study that was done in 2019 was right and it should stand.
Right. No. Okay. Hold on. Hold on. But let me get back to my question. I'm still blown away that somebody made a phone call and had a parking change. That's amazing. That's amazing. So I can't do that. I've tried. Nobody listens to me. In fact, my calls are blocked here at Village Hall. Okay, Ms. Starks. Before 2019, when it
being defamed,
when it was a 2-hour parking. What is your opinion of then the ability to park on park? Because you've been here for 30 years. So I just want to get a quick answer. What was it like before it became a free range on Park Avenue?
I heard you say it wasn't enforced.
Well, you could have students who were coming and going. So it really allowed for some students to come and then other people would come in and park. So they were parking all the
time. Was it worse? Was it worse or better than the last 4 years?
Of the parking overnight.
Overnight.
But overnight parking is not allowed in the village.
Yeah. How is there overnight parking?
And we can't probably go by enforcing
that.
Well, they enforce it. Trust me. My neighbor across the street all the time.
Okay.
I'm always calling.
Okay. So, all right. So you answered my question. Thank you. Okay. So yeah, let's move forward.
Okay, wait, I'm going to throw out one more comment here. Just a question for Matt. So if we were to do the paid parking, which was option 2, how difficult is that to implement? I think it's fairly easy with...
like Parco Park or... like one of those apps. We don't have those in River Forest. I don't think.
No, we do. We have them down by the train station. Yeah.
How is it implemented? We don't put up parking meters.
No. It's a sign that says, you're in zone 301, 205, and you have to pay to park a certain amount. I know, like at the train, it's $5.
You do it through an app.
It's on your phone.
Okay.
But that's something.
But who is paying to park there? A resident?
Anybody.
Anybody.
Could correct me. A resident may not have to pay, but non-residents would have to pay, because I know down by the Green Line, that's resident only parking, so no one can park in those 5 spots.
But the residents don't pay.
No, you still have to pay, but you have to be a resident to pay. Gotcha. Otherwise, you get a ticket. Gotcha. Like an Oak Parker would get a ticket in those 5 spots.
I would say that the more complicated the regulation is, and breaking it up like that, the harder it will be to enforce, would be my first reaction to that. I'm sure there are ways to implement that. But I'm not sure that the recommendation from this study is kind of how those regulations came along, along the Metro and the Green Line stations. And I'm not sure that this would be necessarily a similar situation to them. We can discuss.
Residences, the board can. The other locations, they weren't in front of residences,
right,
like they are here, and here residences have guests and people that come visit them. They're not going to want to have them pay. We're on the Metro, they're on a street where there's no residents only.
But I think
Rick was asking a logistical question, which is it feasible on that stretch to put up signage and impose a pay to park regime where, say, it would be $5 an hour? Or $2 an hour, whatever number.
Yeah, whatever number.
Whatever number, and that would be an alternative.
Which would then push them onto campus, because even if you charge them $3 a day, it's still cheaper to park on campus.
That's my point. We have to make, if we do the sign thing, which is a great idea, we have to make it high enough so that they go, wait a minute, $5 an hour, that's $10. If I park, I could get a $50 sticker for the whole year. And I'm going to come 4 days a week, and that's $40 for the week. So it would move them onto the – does that make sense?
That was a recommendation in there.
And the one at the train station, I believe, is 6 a.m. to only 2 p.m. or something like that, where you could do something similar, you know, 7 to 2, so the residents can park in front of their homes after 2 o'clock for no charge.
But it would be across the street.
It would only be across the street, right.
I think we can accomplish that without charging a quarter an hour and getting an app going. I mean, with an 8 to 5, a 2-hour parking restriction, I think it's going to gently persuade people to I'm just completely against metering.
Me too.
We got to look at the revenue, too. We just lost $1 million thanks to the state. We need money, right, Matt?
Maybe
it's not official yet. But,
maybe we can get it from the guy who made a phone call and had the signs put out in front of us. I mean, he must have some clout. But I truly feel, and I probably know the guy, too. Or gal, sorry. Could be a gal. I don't know if I'm interested in even breaching that subject. I you know, gently push, but now that we're thinking about, okay, right now there's a temporary ban on parking except for residents. Do we go back to the ordinance, which is free range, or do we make a motion now to change it? And mine simply was, or maybe will be, you know, between 8 and 5, because there's so much parking in that garage between the hours, or 24 hours a day, except for 10:30 to 1:30.
Are you saying resident parking only during those times, or 2-hour parking during those times?
I was thinking between 8 and 5, it would be 2-hour parking enforced.
Mm-hmm.
And we can educate as we enforce, you know, we can send out emails. You guys have the ability to do that. To send and say, hey, this is enforced. This is being enforced. And, you know, we can enforce it. We give them fair warning over summer, maybe even the first semester, fair warning. And then if they're in there for more than 2 hours enforced, because we have these little electric cars that go and read license plates now, we can do this.
To Mark's point, and we may all have our opinions on the KLOA study and how well supported their conclusion was. I have my own, but I think there's a valid point, and that is there was a recommendation. The recommendation was adopted. That's been the status quo for 4 years. And have we heard a basis tonight to change it? And maybe we have. I mean, I'm asking that sort of rhetorically. And, you know, I just think we should take that seriously as to whether we think that there's a basis to change it tonight.
I do agree with Commissioner Hoyt that, you know, we have a couple of residents who have said we think something should be done, although even then it's not quite that clear, right? We have two residents that think something definitely needs to be done, and one that thinks it's maybe not that big of a deal. So it does feel like there might be more of a diversity of opinion on that block than we know. And it would feel a little better to make a recommendation, having a better sense of how people felt. I mean, I don't, you know, a petition. Oh, sure.
I guess my recommendation, I'll just give you my, and not necessarily making a motion, but my recommendation and my good move would be to remove the current temporary restriction that is the resident only by police order. We remove that. We restore no restriction on the west side of park, and then we reassess this issue in whenever we have a meeting, in October, after we have a month's worth of you know, at least, and I'm fine with the anecdotal information. I don't know that we need to require a formal count, but that we have a meeting. I could have to count the months, whether our meeting's in October, November, whenever our meeting falls. We put this back on the agenda. We give notice to the residents that we're going to discuss this again at our October or November meeting. And at that time, we would know, you know, is parking continuing to be sort of heavily utilized on the west side of Park? Let's assume that it is. And then I guess the question is going to be, are we going to put on the agenda that if we're going to propose a 2-hour restriction on West, on, I would suggest that we put that on the agenda, that's going to be a specific remedy that we're going to discuss at the meeting. And I think the people on Franklin should also get notice, because of at least the potential knock-on effect of causing people to move from Park to Franklin. So that would be my recommendation, at least as of now. Pat?
I have a question for Matt. How long can we leave the signs that are there?
Stuck in the ground. I think we could remove them.
I
can do it on the way home.
No, I don't want to remove them is my point. I mean, how long are we allowed to leave them there without since the village ordinance says no parking.
The village ordinance is there's no restriction.
That's what
this
I mean,
is
right?
This is a temporary police exception to that has some temporary signage that I think, unless Matt tells us otherwise, could be easily removed.
Correct.
I know that, but is there a?
There's no.
A 90-day period. The end of night. You know.
No,
what I'm
that
saying?
That's
no.
It's kind of a.
It's a kind of whatever you guys.
Gray area, frankly. Yeah, okay. But yes, it would be easy to remove on that, this recommendation. I think right now with the less students, it has less of an impact than it would a noticeable impact. It might affect the guests or the contractors that are coming there more now than students, but it's just speculation.
Just a clarification again. The reason we're even discussing this is because Dominican raised it, correct?
No.
So the initial this topic was initially raised by residents on Park Avenue. It came in reference to the parking gate on the campus.
So the agenda says Dominican brought it to the village, and following the discussion between Dominican and the village decided it would be appropriate for us to discuss this.
Yes. So there, once the signs were implemented, there was internal discussion at the village about proposing an ordinance for the village board to consider. Dominican was made aware of the signs by seeing them, and we had a conversation with officials from Dominican, recognizing that there was disagreement on that, potentially having an impact on their students. There was additional conversation with that email group of residents about the regulations, and we recognized there wasn't a consensus and wanted to go about it through the appropriate process.
Okay. I definitely need to hear from the residents on Park Avenue. Not saying 2 hours or nothing, just give us an open opinion about what they're seeing, what they're feeling.
I am now in agreement with that. The motion that you made or suggested is now, I think, prudent. Because all we know is somebody made a phone call and got what they wanted. And that's not following procedure. Changes were made that affected lots of people, some positively, some negatively. So perhaps we put it back to where it was and, you know, what the ordinance says. And we live through the summer in peace. And, you know, we go forward with hearing from the residents and perhaps maybe a traffic count of Dominican. And perhaps, you know, working in good faith here, Dominican could put out an email or text, whatever these kids do now, stressing the importance of the garage to offset, I don't know, you know, environmental collapse outside the buildings or something, whatever you guys talk about over there, you know, you kind of say something that resonates with an 18-year-old to 20-year-old to get them in the garage. And that's a nudge, right? That's a nudge. And then we'll decide after we hear from the neighbors, more neighbors than that are here, if we're going to help nudge with a restriction in the future.
So,
to be clear, we were made aware that we were not in compliance with the plan development, with the assets of the gate, rectified that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there was a phone call and temporary signs put up. That was our objection.
Sure, no, that makes sense.
We were objecting to if the village collectively and the neighbors decide that should be a restricted parking side of the street.
So it's
a whimsical sort of request that we object.
All right, I don't want to cut off discussion, and I'm going to make a motion, and then we can discuss the motion if need be. But I'm going to move that we number one remove the temporary resident only parking by police order. That as a result of that, number two, that the parking would revert back to what it is currently under the ordinance, which is no restricted parking on the west side of park. Number three, that we put this issue on the agenda for our October meeting, assuming that we hold with every other month. So it's June, August. We'd have a meeting in October.
July.
Right? July.
Oh, am I wrong on that? Because we're in May. I'm thinking we're on June. Well, so if the next one is July, September, so I think I would suggest that we put this on the November agenda.
Unless enough residents come to us beforehand and want to bring it up.
Yeah, I guess my only concern is if we meet September, it's going to be very early. I guess it's the third week of September, so we would be relatively new into the school year. So I'm not opposed to it being on the September agenda.
Can we get a parking count?
Well, I guess I'm not putting in my motion, at least, to have a formal count, but I'm suggesting that if we put this on the agenda in September, that the agenda would be to discuss potential whether to change, from the current no restriction to imposing some kind of restriction on the west side of park that could include 2-hour restriction or other restrictions, and to prepare for that meeting. I don't know whether we need any formal counts, but certainly I think I'm going to assume that once school starts that there's going to be more parking on that side of the street. And, so I don't know if you all feel like we want a count, we could ask for a count. I just don't think it's needed. I think we'll just kind of...
If somebody goes by there at noon Monday through Friday, the first week of school, I think we're going to get all the data that we need, and then we'll have more neighbors here to chime in as well and give us more to think about.
Yeah,
I mean data
on, and I think the public Rick service always, officer can
so
help and, us out
yeah,
on
so,
that.
So you're saying maybe there's a way we can get some information without having to pay for a consultant to do a formal study, but we're trying to get some information collected so we know that. And look, I don't mean to denigrate if residents are also telling us it's being fully utilized or mostly fully utilized, we can accept that information. But and I agree that it would be good if the village can collect the information, and if we could also get information from residents, all of that would be helpful to have as part of the mix for us to discuss. And if we think that we can discuss it at the September meeting in a meaningful way, I guess I'm okay doing that. And if we don't have enough, I guess we table it till the next meeting. But so maybe the idea here would be as part of this motion that we go ahead and put it on the agenda for the September meeting, because we do meet the third Wednesday of the month. So maybe by then we'll have some information. So that's I don't know if I need to restate that, but that's my motion too. Number one, to remove the temporary resident only parking. To continue with the current ordinance, which is no restriction on park. Three, to put this on the agenda at our September meeting and notify the residents, including residents on Franklin, that at the September meeting, we're going to discuss potential parking restrictions on the west side of Park. And as for that meeting, to get whatever information we can get about current parking habits on at least on the west side of Park.
I second that motion.
Any discussion or questions?
Go ahead. I just would like to ask, Ben, how did the signs come about?
Well, can we get this motion resolved?
And well, vote is going to depend on
how did the
temporary signs come about? Did one person call?
No, there was a group of residents that had sent an email with a few issues. One was the gate that has been rectified. Two was about speeding and issues on the enforcement in that, and the amount of cars that were parking on the block. So as a result of that, Dominican rectified the gate around that same time. Police did step up enforcement there. There was one of the movable message board signs there to help address the speeding
trailer. Yep.
Speed trailer, exactly, on Park Avenue, and the temporary signs were put up as well.
Thank you.
Any other discussion or questions about the motion? All right, can we go ahead and vote on the motion?
It's to remove the signs completely and go back to what we originally...
Correct, and then put this on the agenda at the September meeting with whatever information we can get, and notify the folks that live on Park Dominican and the folks of Dominican, and notify, I don't know what the relevant period is. I guess we notify people on Greenfield, but I want to make sure the people on Franklin get notified. Yeah, let's go ahead and vote.
Okay. Commissioner Chase?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Commissioner Carroll?
Yes.
Commissioner Osga?
Yes.
And Chairman Reese?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. So everybody, thank you. So I think hopefully it's clear what we suggested. Now, our suggestion is not binding. That our suggestion will go to the village board. If they accept our suggestion, then this will be back on the agenda in September. And, you know, you can tell, I think there's a lot of sentiment in favor of some kind of restriction, but that'd be something that we would talk about at the September meeting.
What is the date of the September meeting?
It'd be the third Wednesday of the month. Wednesday. Yeah, I can look right now.
I think it's the 18th. I just looked.
Third Wednesday is the 16th. Oh, I beg your pardon.
Third Wednesday is the
18th.
Yeah, 18th. It'd be 18th. September 18th.
At 7:30.
Yeah. So thank you all. Thanks for coming.
Thank
I know
thank
it's
you.
Late in the evening. We appreciate it. Appreciate your patience. And, you know, as you've heard, we're trying to balance all the competing interests and try to come up with something that's fair to the residents, fair to Dominican, safe, et cetera. So we'll discuss this again in September. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank
you.
So go ahead.
Second.
And approved.
Oh, go ahead.
I make a motion to adjourn, please.
Pat, second.
Second.
Okay, by acclamation. We agree.
Aye.